Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 4. Brian Hazio, Dr. Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. Buddy Mike Johnson will join us here in a few moments. A bunch of games in the NHL tonight, including Edmonton. They're in Vancouver taking on the Canucks tonight. So we'll look ahead to that. And the Leafs went back to the well with those lines we talked about yesterday. They're, you know, Keith's going to roll them out tomorrow night. It's there's no point in going through two practices and not giving it a shot tomorrow, right, with, you know, Matthews and Marner and Nylander moving around. They're there up on TSN 4. Nylander technically on the third line with Kampf as a center. Marner playing with Tavares and Matthews on a line with Kasha and Bunting. So we'll see what Johnny thinks of those moves and what to expect in Vancouver tonight. And it's been a wild ride following Montreal media throughout this year. Like, you if you're not watching the game, you just tune in and they're just disgusted. You know, they really, they're disgusted. If it gets away from them early in the game, you just can see them saying, I don't know what we're supposed to do here for the rest of the season.
It seems like every game, Hayes, it's like 5-1 after
they gotta,
two.
They got to, I mean, they're beyond. Like, they got to, they got a goaltender in there that should be.
Let's just call it the way it is. They're brutal this year, but what I find, like, crazy is for that many people not to be playing well at the same time. It's like nobody jumps out and you're like, man, that guy is still finding a way to, like, it's just everyone is collectively year.
I'm shocked. Like, the guy who, I know they've had it, like, obviously Price, Weber missing, you know, injuries, COVID, you name it. Jeff Petrie's forgotten how to play hockey. I watched him. I swear to God. And I think he's a really, really good player. Mm-hmm. He needed a reset, got a reset, had COVID, all of that stuff. He had a play last night. I was like, where is he going? He was going north. The play was going south.
Jamie, I agree. He doesn't even look like the same person. There's something that the COVID, like, affected him or something.
He's a 40 in his sleep. He's a 40-point defenseman.
Yeah.
I think he's got 4 points this year. Like, it's something I have to check. But you know what? Caden Primo, God love him. Like, he's not ready to be an NHL goaltender yet. Like, they're, you know, the Jake Allen's hurt. Like, they're just Montemblanc. Like, you go down the line. They're down to the wood right now. That's literally what they are. You couldn't, if you asked a casual fan, name me 7 players that played for the Canadiens last night, you might not be able to. Like, there's guys on there that you're like, okay, yeah, that guy's getting a sniff here and that. Like, it's not the case. You know,
no, they're,
it's literally there. At one point, I think they had 30 guys that were missing from their roster with COVID in like 30 in their system. It was insane. They had to shut them down. It's crazy.
Weren't playing when they were missing the 30 guys, clearly.
No.
Yes, they all had to go through COVID protocols. And I don't know. I don't think you can, I don't want to say use that card because COVID is legit and it's serious, but every team has had.
Not to the extent. They're missing 300 man games.
Not 300
from COVID, man. No, that's from injuries and, like, the COVID is one thing. Injuries, man games, there's not even a team that's close.
Regardless,
to
it's a mess, and I think the media there, they're done with the scathing, like, articles. And.
Well, you can't.
No, it's your reality now. Yeah, now you might as well be the worst team in the league. You've gone this far. I think everyone would be committed to that plan.
Now it's Buffalo time back in the day.
Yeah.
Remember when Timmy Murray? Get rid of it, like, gone.
Everything you can do to lose out. And you feel for Dominic Ducharme because now there's a new president, there's a new GM.
Oh, yeah.
And you're just finishing the season. You know Ducharme's not going to be there in 2 or 3 years. Like, maybe he's back next year as a guy that they turn it over. I doubt it.
I don't
exactly.
Think so.
I think they completely clean house. But I look at a guy like Nick Suzuki. That's what matters to me. You know, like, how does Suzuki come out of this? Is he still your primary piece? Are you building around him? Because he's locked in. Like, Bergevin, that was one of the last things he did. He locked him up on a long-term deal. And, you know, this is a big experience for him because he's focal point against oppositions. He's going to be playing big minutes, and it's not going so well. Last year he was rolling, looked great on a good team, cup final, all that kind of stuff. That's where the focus is. Like, wondering what's going to happen with older players who aren't going to be here in 2 or 3 years probably doesn't matter as much. But if you're the new GM, new president, that's what you need to find out. Like, what are the young guys who you believe could be a part of your program in 2 or 3 years when this thing turns around? What are they made of? right now.
Yeah.
Because
these are
tough times.
You're getting – what you're giving them, unfortunately, is experience on the job. And Suzuki, Romanoff, who, you know, really, I thought he took a step back at the start of the year, they're playing. They're like, go and play. Play, get experience in the league, see all situations. Like I say, Montreal, I'm just reading it now. Top five teams – man games lost due to injury and health protocols. Montreal, 335. You know where the Leafs are at? Calgary's the least in the league, 50 games.
They've had now, 50. Does that include Weber and Price?
I would imagine so. That's long-term injuries.
Yeah.
That's
so,
their roster players.
A little bit deceptive, but yes. Yeah, I'm not disputing it, Noodles. Like, I understand
well,
what you're
saying. Toronto's at 90. Like, Toronto's lost 90 man games. Montreal's lost 330. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It is. I was saying COVID. I'm saying I don't think you can say, well, all those guys had COVID when the Leafs had COVID. Calgary, everyone's had COVID. You know,
right.
Like, and again, is Shea Weber, should he even be counted in that? Are we going to do that every year? Shea Weber misses 82 games and that counts? I mean, he's retired. He's done. He wasn't going to play. And Price, the same thing. But here's Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. You're an alumnus out in Montreal. It's obviously been ugly. In terms of trying to analyze this, if you're Jeff Gorton and Kent Hughes, how difficult do you think this process is going to be?
The analyzing it is going to be, I guess, difficult, but maybe sometimes, without getting too cliche, like the way guys play, the way guys compete when things are not going well, can be illuminating, right? Mm-hmm. Like last night was awful. And I know the team, as Noodles was saying, they've been decimated. They have all kinds of guys in the lineup. They don't have NHL goalies right now. But like, you know, there's a baseline level of competitiveness and focus and intensity and emotion that is expected when you play in the NHL. They didn't have it last night. They've been some nights where they haven't had it. And that is part of your evaluation. So yes, trying to figure out exactly how good this team could be if Carey Price was healthy and had everyone going. That they don't know because they haven't seen it yet this year, but they are learning about maybe guys as individuals who's kind of willing to kind of stick in there and compete hard enough to try to work their way through this, not out of it because I don't think they're going to get out of it.
No,
but to get through it and they'll learn something in that regard. But yes, I like you saying that I'm alumni. I'm not flashing that card around too much right now. So right now I'm playing the Tampa alumni card, Hazy. So if you want to introduce me as an alumni, I'm an alumni of Tampa.
I like that. I'll avoid Arizona and Montreal until you tell me otherwise.
Those two are coming up. I'm Toronto and Tampa. I had St. Louis. They just won. Yeah. I go, I'm a front runner even in my post-playing days.
I'm with you there, buddy.
I don't remember you in St. Louis.
Unless
I don't remember
you played
that.
Maybe you played for St. Louis last night. I don't know.
Maybe I could have. They were terrible. I don't remember me in St. Louis either. I was awful. I played like 20 games. So, it was a regrettable stop on my career, my last one. But when I won the cup, I was still part of the proud St. Louis alumni. I'll still claim it.
There you go. Get the jacket on. And, yeah, that last night, that was a scene. How about the bounce back year? I think that's what we should qualify this for, Matthew Tkachuk. Like, he mm-hmm. last year, he took a lot of bullets, man. Like, he did not have a good year.
Mm-hmm. Well, they weren't very good, and he was kind of lumped in as one of their best players who wasn't playing very good either, but he's awesome right now.
Yeah, look at him last night. But all year, he looks like himself. Like, he looks like – I haven't noticed him – into the agitation as much as years past, unless I've missed something, but he looks like he's chugging and he's bought into whatever Daryl Sutter's selling, and it's working out really well for Matthew Tkachuk.
It sure is, and he's got a great line going. Like Johnny Gaudreau, I don't know, was he part of the bounce back crew because he's having a great year? And Lindholm is a fantastic number one center there now. He's kind of very quietly slid ahead of Monahan and Backlund, and has been really good. But I think, Hayes, you're on to something there in that Matthew, I think last year specifically, kind of got turned around being involved in the agitation. And do you remember the one at the end of Toronto where Muzzin flipped the puck at him and he was going after everyone and then maybe his team wasn't kind of rallying to support him? And there was some of that noise there to go along with a team not playing quite as well. And it's almost like he's not chasing that part of the game anymore. He's just playing with the puck, making awesome plays, working well with Gaudreau. And then certainly playing physical, certainly being emotional, but not doing quite as much post-whistle activity, just concentrating on playing between the whistles, and he's doing a great job of it. That line has been, I mean, I don't know, I guess Colorado's line is probably the best line in the league. I don't know where you rank them, but they've been a top 5 line in the NHL all season long, and they were awesome last night. My goodness, that was an un-St. Louis-like performance, but Calgary was really good.
Yeah, watching that, two things stood out. You know, Jordan Binnington's taken a lot of heat in St. Louis, even when I was there. I flew in the day after the Leafs beat them, and they were still talking about that Mikheyev game-winning goal, you know, where he scores from the goal line, what, 2 minutes, 3 minutes left? Like, and he just hasn't had a great season. But I wanted to finish off Calgary. Goudreau's in a contract year. I believe Matthew Tkachuk needs to be sorted out as well.
He's RFA, yeah.
So, I mean, do you see a scenario where, you know, Calgary might have to be creative to keep them both? You know, maybe it's you have to throw somebody else overboard to make sure there's financial, you know, room for them? Because I don't even know. I'm trying to think, what would a contract for Johnny Goudreau look like? Here's a guy who got 99 points a couple years ago. He's well over a point a game this year. Let's say he gets 90 to 100 points this year. And
already
he's
makes
unrestricted.
Eight.
Yeah.
He makes six, seven, five.
Yeah, he's at 6'7".
And it'll be 29 when the deal kicks in.
Right.
That's a complicated one.
What does that one look like, you think?
Well, I mean, the concern is the age of the term, right? The production warrants, I don't know, $8 or $9 million, right?
Right.
But he's a winger. He's a smallish winger, and he's 29. So you're going to sign him from 29 or 30 to 36, 37. And how long does that translate? I would imagine if you want to go, if you're Calgary and he wants 8 years from you, then you would want to keep it around $8 million maybe on the low end, cause you're giving him the term. If it's going to be a 5-year deal, it's going to be $45 million. I would imagine something like that. I mean, like that's the production he's had, and Matthew's the same way. Matthew Tkachuk has played his contracts quite well, right? Because he bridged a 3-year deal. I think he has only one more year, and then he's a UFA. So you either got to give him 8 years and the same $8.5 million, $64, $68 million for Matthew, or he gets qualified of the year and he goes into UFA and goes wherever he wants. So it is a conundrum out there in Calgary to try to fit both those guys. And I guess we'll find out, because how long has it been rumored that Johnny Gaudreau craves the Northeast? Like, he wants Philly. He wants back in Jersey. He wants the Islanders. He wants somewhere in the Northeast. Went to school in Boston College, like whatever. And I guess we're going to find out if he wants to stay out in Calgary or you know, just get the biggest payday, or if something is pulling him back to the Northeast closer to home. We'll find out soon enough.
Right. Johnny, we were talking about the Toronto market and the different markets you played in, and you know, even line shuffling in this market is, we just had Joe from the Bridge posted the whole new makeup of the lines. What do you think the motivation is for Sheldon Keefe to kind of toy with that right now and kind of move around the star players onto different lines? Is that just to see what we got here, or what's the motivation behind it?
Probably some degree of, you know, keeping guys paying attention. You know what I mean? Like, just shuffling it up and kind of get everyone going into a busy part of the year where the team's playing pretty well, but he wants them to maintain their focus. So that is one way, given the reaction, to do it. And I think, you know, he mentioned that he's always wanted to try this kind of thing, but they haven't had enough bodies around healthy to do it. And maybe it's part of the experimentation. Like, when they get down the stretch, when they get into the playoffs, can they offer a different look to pose a different kind of threat to a team? I mean, if your third line is Kerfoot and Nylander, like, does that open up a whole bunch of stuff for Kerfoot and Nylander? Because, you know, like, that kind of thing just can't, if we need it, we know the other stuff works. Like, we know what Bunting, Matthews, and Marner looks like, and Tavares and Nylander. Like, we know what they can do and what to expect from them, but we don't really know how this kind of combination could work. Maybe just acquire some information so that if he has to go to it to switch something up later, he's got a better sense.
Yeah, I think you're looking at a scenario where Anaheim's in town tomorrow. He's going to commit to it because they've done it 2 days in a row in practice. Like, there's no point running it out a couple of times without going with it. And I like it. Like, I like the idea of moving pieces around. I'd like to see it. If you got something else in mind, you want to move Marner around, do it. But which player sticks out to you in terms of the challenge? Is it Nylander moving into a different spot where he's playing with Kampf, who obviously does not have the offensive abilities of a Tavares or a Matthews? Or does the Matthews line stick out to you? Because kind of feels like a Sundin kind of throwback. Like, put a couple of guys who can move and skate. And I know, Johnny, you might have been a part of that. And just let him do his thing.
Here.
Yeah. What do you make of that?
It reminds me of Sundin with a couple of scrubs, does it, huh?
Well, good hard workers. Good, true alumni.
Good to know. Yeah, I mean, I think you highlight, well, I mean, I guess the primary reaction is that, yeah, Matthews is kind of out on his own without one of the other big four, and maybe a challenge for him to do that. But him and Bunting have had pretty good chemistry. You know, Mitch has been out a little bit, so they've seen that before. But it is noteworthy, like, do it on your own, drive it on your own, be good, make sure that line goes. But I think, obviously, Austin is up to that challenge. I think it's also noteworthy that, you know, Mitch and John Tavares both get one of the big four, right? They're the two guys that are still together with one of the other top forwards to kind of work together. So that will be interesting. They've played well together for the past. And then, yeah, I mean, I think William Nylander, two things stick out for me about him. How good is Compo offensively? Like, we've been praising his defensive abilities, justifiably so. But, like, as good as Nylander is, like, he can't do it by himself. Like, you need a little support, a little service from your centerman. Can he provide that? And what will the minutes become? Now, Sheldon Keefe has acknowledged he's going to make sure that William Nylander doesn't start playing 14 minutes again, because he deserves 18 and a half every single night. And playing on the third line, you don't usually get that unless the coach makes a concerted effort to make sure you do. So I'll be, you know, what happens to William Nylander's ice time? Does it go down 2 or 3 or 4 minutes a game? Because that would be a significant development if it did.
With Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst. So Edmonton and Vancouver tonight, and the Oilers got a win. They stopped the bleeding on Saturday. They needed that. In large part, it was Koskinen and Draisaitl. And we've discussed McDavid's play a lot recently, and the three of us have not been overly impressed, you know, based on his standards, based on the bar that he's set.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know if you see it the same way, Johnny, but at what point should we expect, and should there be pressure on this guy to just dominate? And why can't it be a game like tonight in Vancouver?
I think the pressure should be applied 2 weeks ago. That's how great he is. And we preface this all by his standards, right? Like, we're not asking him to play like, you know, a journeyman. Like, we're asking him to play like the best player in the world. Everyone says that he is, and that he is.
Right.
And he hasn't been able to kind of, you know, force his will onto a game and kind of bend it to his own results, where it seemed like he was doing that earlier, whether it was the end-to-end rushes, whether it was a 3 or 4 point night when they needed the power play running through him, whatever. He was doing what he had to do to make Edmonton successful. And they went through this long run where they were not winning games. And while, you know, he was basically a point of game player, maybe even better than that for the last 10, 12, 14 games in Edmonton, by his standards, a point of game is not good. Like, that is well below what he is expected. It is scary that he's that good, but he is. I just wonder if it looks as though the not the pressure, but the weight of the situation. It's not pressure. It's just like kind of the grind and the weight and the negativity and the losing and all of it. It feels like it's getting to him. You don't see that kind of the freedom when he plays. You know what I mean? Like, kind of that general kind of speed and freedom that he plays with. It seems like he's just feeling a little shackled right now. So he's got to figure it out, though, because Leon did it last game, right? He became a 4-point game when they needed him most. Scored a game-winning goal late in the game to win it. They need some of that by McDavid as well.
That, you know, that's where I was going to head to. We've talked about it. You know, he's a guy that, I mean, I think we all just have expected greatness out of him every night. And if there's a bump in the road, you're like, okay, what's up? You know, there was a stretch there, 3-4 games without a point. And, mm-hmm. you know, when you shine a light on him, you know, certainly game plans. We're sitting here from the couch. You don't think these coaches and other teams are going, is there a template? Is there a way that we can, like, I thought, I'll give you an example. I thought Florida did a really good job on him that night. And I was shocked. I was texting with Hayes, and I think you were in there too. We're like, Radko Gudas had a night that night, which, you know, I don't think he's, I don't know where he falls. Is he a four? Is he a third pairing guy? Like, where, I don't know where he falls in your mind, but he was a lot more mobile, a lot more physical, and certainly paid a lot of attention. But all those forwards, like every time the McDavid got the puck, there was two guys on him, or the time and space, there was nothing. And it was, I think he's had that attention his whole career. He might have to find a way, you know, either to create more space for him, or obviously his line mates are got to help him as well to get available, to give and goes and get him at his speed. But I just saw a frustrated McDavid. I saw a guy who, when they leaned on him, usually he just, you know, he comes out of it, excels, and that wasn't the case. I mean, Vancouver might be different tonight, missing, I think they're missing Horvat, they're missing Garland, and I saw Tanner Pearson went into COVID, so they're missing, you know, a good chunk of their top six, top nine. But McDavid's got to find that open ice.
And do they have goalies in Vancouver? Like, what's going on with their goalies? They're down, like, their fifth string, Mikey DiPietro. Did anyone come back?
No, Spencer Martin's playing again tonight, and I believe Halak is almost out of protocol. It's a mess there right now,
yeah,
obviously, for their protocol. It's just their turn, unfortunately. They're going through some adversity. I think JT Miller's playing tonight. I thought I read that. So, you know, they can't make excuses either. You know, Vancouver's got to fight for
They've
2 points
They've used up
on
their
home
bullets.
Light.
Yeah, they got to get points in Vancouver.
Go ahead.
It's not like Vancouver is, you know, a lockdown defensive team, right?
Yeah.
Like, they rely on Thatcher Demko to be excellent. And when he is, they win games. When he's not, they don't quite as much. So if you want to maybe forecast a game where Connor could have a game like that, because, you know, Vancouver's not a super physical team. They want to get up and down the ice as well. So maybe tonight's the night that he can find a way. But you know, as game planning, we've seen different teams try to do it. It's been that way for 4 years, though, right? Like, every team has tried every possible permutation of how to play against Connor McDavid, and it has not worked. So it's almost, to me, when he struggles, it's almost always, I mean, you got to give the opponent some credit, but it's mostly on him because the opponents have been trying to do that all the time, and it's never really worked. I wonder if I just feel like he's just a little exasperated right now with his line mates, with the noise, with the media.
He's a little bent out of shape.
He's a little squirrely right now. He's a little rattled.
Yeah, you can if you put the spotlight on him, which everyone does, if it's natural, you gravitate to him. It's he doesn't look like himself out there.
Mm-hmm.
He'll break out. It's just a matter of when. And when he does, I expect it to be a special game, and it might be tonight at the expense of Vancouver with Mike Johnson. As former players, Keith Yandle, does this matter to you guys? Does this mean anything? Keith Yandle's the Iron Man. He's tied Doug Jarvis. He's going to pass Doug Jarvis. And I don't think he's not a household name. He's been around forever. Good player. You know, Iron Man is impressive. But what does this mean, the Iron Man streak here for Keith Yandle?
I don't want to disrespect the guy. Go ahead, Johnny. You go first.
No, go ahead, Ol. Go ahead.
I don't want to disrespect the guy, but it's just one of those things where when guys are on the back of the bus having a beer, it's like this isn't like 50-50 or anything like that. No disrespect. It means he's had longevity. It means he's been a great player for a long time. But, like, I'm sorry. That's the extent of it. I don't know what else to say.
Right. Like, Doug Jarvis didn't have some – he's not a household name either.
No, it's not like everyone – if somebody brought up Doug Jarvis, it's like everyone crowded around to hear the stories. It's just – no.
No. Well, it's not Cal Ripken Jr.
No.
It's not the equivalent.
Here's the thing I'll say. There's two ways you can go at it. One way is – you know, from a positive standpoint, like to battle through injuries, flu.
Yes,
not
I'm not trying
well.
To dump on the guy noodles. It's impressive, but it's not. People don't gather around.
It's crazy impressive. But then on the other side, if you want to go old school and be like, this guy didn't get hit by the puck once, he didn't get run behind the net. Like you're like
no
accidentally get hurt. You know what I mean? Like so, I think of it. You know, I'm good friends with Jay Bouwmeester. Jay Bouwmeester is one of the most efficient defensemen I've ever seen. Skated himself in and out of trouble, just really smart on the ice. He had the Iron Man streak going for as long as I could remember it, and then he got injured, unfortunately. But, I applaud him, but I don't think it's, you know, I think it's special, but I'd like to see the path, like other games where it's like, nah, I'm not going back to get hit because I'm not, you know, I got to play tomorrow. You know,
at what
like,
point? Game 750, or, you know, game 800. When did it get to a point where business decision?
I don't know how you feel, MJ, but I just think there's a real positive to it, which is really cool. But then, you know, there's a layer where I've heard people be like, well, that's tough to do because you actually do get hurt at some point or do feel like garbage one night or something and don't play.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess I'm generally quite impressed by it. Like, I understand it's not going to be the most household record, but it's still an NHL record. It's 13 years in the making, and I don't care if you're not the most physical player and you don't block a ton of shots. Like, he put up 50 points a year for, like, a decade. Like, he's a good player, player that other teams would try to get a piece of. And so I give him credit because there would be games throughout there where he was sick, had a toothache, happened to get hit with a puck, whether he meant to or not. His groin was sore. His back was sore. And if this happened prior to game 500, he made the decision that I want to stick it out and go back and play. right? Like, I imagine once he got to 600, 700, it became a thing, and he just never decided to miss. And then maybe there's some games there he just kind of got through without being his best. But right. I think initially, you know, you have to be good to play that much because the coach keeps putting it out there. And you have to want to compete. So, and Keith Yandel, if you know him at all, like, his teammates love that guy. Like, he is beloved in the dressing room. Like, funny guy, good teammate. So, you know, I celebrate it. And I think two things come to mind. What, maybe why we're not making as big of a deal about it. One, Philly's, like, atrociously awful this year, right? 2 10-game losing streaks this year. And so, like, how excited are we supposed to be about this team that is mired in this losing streak? And in many ways, Keith's not playing that well this year. And if the streak wasn't going on, would he even be playing? Yeah, I don't know. But there's that. And also the fact that, like, he might have this record for 3 weeks. Like, Phil Kessel's going to catch him probably and pass him. And so, like, it's not like
true.
It's not like one of those things where, like, oh, he got it. No one's going to get this for 20 years. No one's ever going to – like, someone's going to break it by the end of this year maybe. So there's that as well that maybe – you know, has not caused the wild celebration and fetting of Keith Yandel, because it's pretty amazing. Like, I don't know if I got ever in my career to 200 games. I think maybe the first 200 I played were the first consecutively. I never got there again. So it's like, and I was no physical specimen. Like, I didn't play physically, and it's impressive that he's been able to do it.
Yeah.
And listen, he's gonna. You're right about Phil though. Phil's lurking, man. Phil's coming in hot.
Yeah.
But, and Phil's going to play next year. I don't know if Keith Yandel will play next year. Like, Phil will play somewhere, and it's got to keep going, right?
Yeah, maybe Arizona. Like, if they're going to be awful for 2 or 3 years, just keep bringing Phil back and sign him to one-year deals. He'll probably take it, keep playing.
Got 30 points, something, 32 points or something, right?
Yep, exactly. Yeah, there it is up on TSN4. All right, buddy, enjoy the games tonight. We'll do it again later in the week.
All right, guys, have a good night.
Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. They take away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lien history, and accident history. Find out more at MapleToyota.com. The Raptors are in action tonight, Charlotte in town, and we got some news on Fred VanVleet. We'll tell you about that and the reaction to it. Sean Payton stepping aside. He's no longer going
to
be the guy.
I have a clip to play for you as well about your boy out in Green Bay. I'm going to play it.
Right. I like it. We'll play that. We'll break it all down. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 in on TSN 4. All right, so the Raptors are back in action tonight, and it was announced earlier this afternoon. All of a sudden, Fred VanVleet was on the injury report and dealing with a knee issue, and now it has been announced he is out. So Fred VanVleet with knee soreness is out tonight. No guarantee when he's going to be back. No, it's
That's not good.
Like, Fred is the most valuable player to this team, one of the three or four most valuable players in the league.
Dude, he's a face of the team.
Yeah, they also don't have another point guard, like a pure point to play. This guy's playing 41, 42 minutes a night. And Delano Banton, who's looked a lot better recently and down with the 905, has been putting up good numbers, and they've sent the kids down. They want to give them opportunities. So look at this lineup to start tonight. They're going to go with Barnes, Trent, Ananobi, Siakam, and Achiuwa. So effectively, Achiuwa is going to replace VanVleet, and you're just going to push everyone down, and that means the ball is going to go through Scotty Barnes and Pascal Siakam. Gary Trent's going to have to play big minutes. He's coming off injury. So this is not going to be easy.
You know how the coach spins it, though, Hazy B. The coach spins it as this is an opportunity for everybody to step up.
Absolutely.
Fine, but still, I mean, you know, he's a very good player. Like, Fred, everything kind of, he is the face. Like, he's the guy who drives that team, too. That's the, you know, who's going to step? I think Scotty Barnes can have a night just because he's...
I'm intrigued by that. The idea of Scotty Barnes being a guy who's going to play, you know, the ball's going to go through him a lot. He's going to... I mean, you're going to have set plays if you're in the half court tonight.
Right.
That's Fred, right? Like, VanVleet's the one that's generally going to drive that ball movement. If you're, you know, if you're playing a high screen, it's going to be VanVleet that's going to be driving a lot of that. Who's the one that's going to be doing it? Siakam's capable. Gary Trent... capable, but I think this might be a sign of the future with Scotty Barnes, who has had himself a great, you know, resurgence. He's had some ups and downs this year, but his game over the weekend in Washington was a career night for him. Bradley Beal was pumping his tires after the game, and Scotty Barnes is, I think we've lost sight of how young he is. He's a rookie.
Yeah.
He's you know, 35, 40 games into his career here, and I think he just made such a strong first impression that it's almost impossible to believe he's as young as he is, but he's still learning his game. He's still developing his game. But I think they drafted him with the intention of him being a guy that that can have the ball in his hand a lot, you know, as he grows. And he's never going to be a pure point guard just based on his size. But that's what I think is going to happen tonight.
Imagine Scotty Barnes in a couple of years, Hayes. He's going to be an animal, man.
He has that real potential. Like, some guys just have it when you see it.
Right.
And he looks like he's got it, you know. And go back to draft night. A lot of people were saying, you got to take Jalen. You got to take Suggs.
How is he playing in Orlando?
Well, Orlando's so bad. I don't think he's been great. Like, he's
they're
had
even off
downs.
The radar as a team in the NBA. Like, that's disgusting what they're doing down
They're
there.
One of the most irrelevant teams
oh,
in pro sports.
Oh, God.
Is Orlando. They really are. Like, there's a few teams that are at the forefront of being irrelevant, and I would say the Orlando Magic are top five irrelevant team in pro sports right now.
You and your, like, I mean,
I love that list. I am the guy
who
turns it.
You do, though. Like, if you had a top five most irrelevant organizations,
give us it tomorrow.
Sport,
top five most irrelevant
like,
teams.
No, because you know why? Because people go nuts. Remember,
that's
you
fine.
Took a shot at like the Devils,
no,
the Jersey
the Devils,
Devils,
and the
you're
Buffalo
like,
Sabres. He just
and
crushes
and
them.
You, every time he gets a chance to take a little dig at New Jersey, you're like, you know, why? You know,
people hate the truth,
Noodles.
But listen, if I have to be the arbiter of truth, then I'll be it, man.
No one cares about what people in New Jersey think.
That's a strong statement.
That was awful.
That was strong. I don't remember it being that.
Play that again. That's disgusting.
No one cares about what people in New Jersey think.
Wow, that is strong. What is that mean? I don't remember saying that. I mean,
that is tough.
I guess
that
I got to go back to the well. I can't change my mind now.
But
I'll double
you know
down.
What?
No one cares what people in New Jersey
we
think.
We have no context for that.
I don't know what that meant. What
anyway,
are we talking about? Is that a quote from The Sopranos?
Between 5:45 and 6, we have no guess. Give us your top five most irrelevant teams.
Okay,
in sports.
I don't need much time. I'll do it in the next segment. Give
okay,
me a break.
Yeah, next
give
segment.
Me three
but
or four
I
minutes.
I want to play this for my guy Marcus Spears okay. regarding your quarterback and what he thinks the final destination should be. Mulls, play it.
They needs to cut ties.
Ooh,
wow.
They need to stop being held hostage and start the next measure of their franchise and the direction in which they want to go. I have not seen so much fuss to get so much nothing for a number of years. It's been a lot of fuss and a lot of nothing in Green Bay. What's the difference between Green Bay and the Baltimore Ravens? The Ravens win a lot of regular season games. They go to the playoffs. They a team that's constantly fighting to try to get a Super Bowl bid. And they don't have the guy that we consider one of the top five to ever play the quarterback position. Cut ties, move forward, man. That's all I'm going to say.
Wow. Well, yeah, listen,
Can't argue with that, man.
I agree
argue.
With the playoffs. We said it yesterday. We talked about it yesterday. This is the conundrum that sports drives home. The irrelevancy of it is you could be staring at being an irrelevant team. Green Bay in 2 or 3 years, if you let them walk and you bring in Jordan Love and that's a catastrophe and you end up winning 3 or 4 games every year, all of a sudden you're a forgotten team and you're chasing the next guy. It's very difficult to point right. to, you know, the other side of the fence when you're uncertain about it. But everything Marcus Spears just said is correct in terms of the playoffs. Like, he is a diva. He's not alone. Quarterbacks are like that. But this year was stupid. Started at the draft. He's a selfish guy. I don't know what his story is when it comes to the playoffs, but he doesn't perform well enough.
But he also is the guy that could go to San Francisco and win back-to-back Super Bowls if he gets teamed up with a guy like Shanahan and that team in front of him.
I don't think that's the issue, though. Like, LaFleur's a good coach, and he's got talent at Green Bay. Green Bay was the number one seed in the NFC. It's not like they snuck in as a wild card team on the road. This guy coming off a bye at home, he played like that.
He could be middling in all of this and then just go somewhere else, and he could be a back-to-back champ.
He could because
he's that talented.
He absolutely is. But I think what Spears is saying is the talent is irrelevant. He's one of the great talented quarterbacks of all time. He's one of the great regular season quarterbacks of all time. But in the playoffs in recent years, something's not there for him.
Hasn't
like,
happened.
The light doesn't go on in the playoffs. So does that get reignited when he goes somewhere else? Possibly, and that's the gamble you're going to take. But do you believe it's just going to come alive next year? Look at the scenario. Now, credit to the Niners. That Niners defense is ferocious. And their front four in particular is outstanding. Shanahan's a good coach. But coming off a bye at home, you score a touchdown on your first drive, and then you don't do anything else. You don't score another touchdown. You put three more points on the board. 10 points at home off a bye against the Niners. That's awful. Like, that is unacceptable, and he's got to own that. And, you know, I think what Spears is saying is more like everything he represents now maybe isn't worth it. And I'm not convinced that's the truth, because it was worth the top seed in the NFC. And right. I think sometimes we lose sight of it because you compare him to Mahomes and you compare him to Allen and you compare him to other guys that are at the top of their games right now, maybe still playing. But then there's the other end of the spectrum where what's Kirk Cousins bringing to the table for you? What is Andy Dalton doing? What's Jerry Goff? Those are the other quarterbacks in his division. You know, I'm taking Rodgers over all three of those guys. So, yeah. And listen, maybe – who knows? Who knows where he wants to go? Ultimately, he's going to make that call. And if he wants to leave, then they're going to ship him out. And maybe he goes and teams up with Sean Payton in a year. Because
dude, I'm telling you, I would love to see – there's all kinds of gifts right now, like – this is Mike McCarthy's face if he saw Peyton and Jerry Jones having lunch. Like, they're just out there. The creativeness of Twitter and the gifts and stuff like that are going absolutely bonkers right now. Someone's going to hand him 100.
He knows what's going to be out there. He's a confident guy. Like, reading the tea leaves, he met with the owner down there. He's been there for, what, 15
years? But he
claims,
Hayes, that he just doesn't want to coach next year. I'm not buying that.
I don't think he's going to coach next year. I think this is out of respect to the long-time owner down there. He probably, because he's under contract, I think, until 2024. I wouldn't be surprised if he said, listen, let me take a step back a year. I'm not going to embarrass you and demand out and walk or whatever. There's no trade to be had. No one's going to flip anything for me. Let me retire or take a year off and then let me out of the deal and let me move on. And I would guess that mutual respect would be there. It should be there for Sean Payton. Everything he's done for that team. I mean, the guy won a Super Bowl. They were you talk about irrelevant. The New Orleans Saints were at the top of the list until he and Breeze showed up. So I'll bet you he's got something set up for 2023, and he's coming back. I mean, coaches don't – guy like that, they don't leave the game and just disappear.
You don't think there's something around the corner, a package, where he ends up, you know –
Maybe
Rodgers and you know what I mean, like something crazy. Could you see something crazy? NFL is crazy.
Is crazy. It's dramatic, but he's under contract, so I don't see, you know, why pay lip service to it now and pretend like you're leaving and then in 2 weeks say actually whoops, I have something else going on. I just don't know how that would be consistent with him. But now I'm seeing Scotty Barnes is a late addition to the injury
that's
report.
Not good.
And he's questionable with right wrist swelling. So,
dude, I was thinking, Hayes, like, you can't even go, like, if I just wanted to get off this desk when we were done, I can't even go down to the game, right?
No.
No.
No, no one's getting in there.
No.
Can't get in.
Not tonight.
Cannot get in. Absolutely not. Not happening.
When are they doing this 500 people garbage? Not that that means anything.
Next Monday, it opens a little bit, right? It's next Monday, and then it's
That's
February
insane,
21st,
man.
I think, is when it's going to get to 50% capacity, I believe.
Insane.
Yeah, but even that, you know, the goalposts can move from time to time. Who knows what we're going to be dealing with at that point. But, yeah, as of tonight, it's going to be an empty building. Yeah. All right, I'll come back. Let me put some thought into this, the irrelevant list, the pro sports irrelevant list.
Get you ready to delete your Twitter account.
I don't care. No one cares what people think.
No one cares about what people in New Jersey think.
That's such a strong, arrogant, over-the-top.
You got to do me a favor. Make it a 7-pack, just because I know you think a bunch of teams are just irrelevant.
Okay. Yeah, I can get 7. This will be 7 on the fly, and you guys evaluate it.
Tough.
Confirm or deny in about 20 minutes, and Dallas Braden, because we're waiting to hear on Cooperstown and what's going to happen.
Yeah.
That's coming up in the next hour as well. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050, and on the TSN app. All right, so I actually have so many teams here, I'm having a difficult time shaving this down to 7, because all I see is irrelevancy. I want to include Seattle so badly, the Seattle Kraken, but I can't, because obviously they're relevant. It's their first season. Mm-hmm. But – all right, so I don't know how we stumbled upon this. We're talking about Orlando. I think that's what it was.
And then Noodles brought up the idea how you just love crushing Buffalo, New Jersey.
Well, that's not it. Buffalo, it's not Buffalo. You go, like, for some reason, out of nowhere, it'll be just New Jersey. And I'm like, you know, what did they
do? No one cares about what people in New Jersey think.
Play the
that's
tape.
That's a strong statement.
Just Play the tape. Nobody cares what people
All right, what do you got,
think.
A five or a seven, Pat?
I have, honestly, I got eight here, and I'm having a difficult time. Why don't I name these off, and you guys tell me.
Give me eight up to one, one being the one you think is the
well,
most. Well,
I have the number one I think is should be unanimous. It's so irrelevant, you guys will be surprised that they're still even around. Like they shouldn't exist anymore. It's just such a ridiculous team. So I don't know if I can necessarily go all the way down from, you know, seven to one, but let me put the one aside and then I'll just let me bring the others to the table and then I'll tell you the one that I have at number one.
All right.
Okay. I have to include the Buffalo Sabres in this list of irrelevant teams. I know they're relevant here because of geography, but if you take geography out of it, you just take a step back. The Buffalo Sabres have not factored into really much in terms of what's been happening on the NHL landscape for quite some time. I would include New Jersey in that. You know, they've had first overall picks. They've had some high, you know, players that have name value,
yeah.
But they're right. they're just in the league right now. They're just in the league. Arizona, the same thing. It's more about the rink and ownership, but they just happen to be there.
So is that a three-pack, Arizona, three, Jersey, and Buffalo?
Those are my three in the NHL. Yeah, those are my three in the NHL. Buffalo, Arizona, and New Jersey.
I guess your next selection?
Sure.
The Jacksonville Jaguars.
I have the Jags for the NFL. I only have that one team in the NFL. I was thinking of including Detroit, the Lions. I guess the Lions have to be included too, right? Don't
yes.
they? Yeah,
yes.
The Lions. Okay, wow. So I have two. I got the Jags and the Lions. Now, they happen to be the two last-place teams in the league. The NFL, though, I think is different because everyone plays one primetime game on Thursday night. It gets so much attention. Like, it's hard to be irrelevant in the NFL because of right. the engine that is the NFL and the media and the attention that comes with it. But I'll include them, but I'm not sure that the NFL is – really subjected to this list. Baseball, the Arizona Diamondbacks. I got Arizona as a state. I just circle you. Arizona is the Jersey of the West. You know, no one cares what people in Arizona think. Diamondbacks are relevant. The Pirates, they would be included. Now, the NBA is a league that I think is ripe with irrelevancy. Orlando is the one that we established in the last segment. Right. Orlando is very much an irrelevant team. I would include the Timberwolves in this list. When was the last time we talked about Minnesota?
When Kevin Garnett was there.
Basically. Yeah, exactly. Maybe when Wiggins was there. And obviously they've had some high picks recently. But the number one most irrelevant sports franchise in North America is an NBA team. You guys want to guess which team it is? It's 100% number one. It's no one can dispute it. No one can fight it.
Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah.
No.
What?
No. It's not Oak City?
It's not Oak City. This is how irrelevant it is. Well, you guys will name every other team in the league and then say, oh, of course. That's how stupid this is and how
Cleveland?
Irrelevant they are. Not Cleveland.
Okay, let me think here.
Orlando.
Not Orlando.
Houston?
Not Houston.
Utah.
Not Utah. You
wow.
want me to just give you the answer?
No, because yeah. now you
keep
not-
going. Now you got to keep going.
Sacramento?
The Sacramento Kings. That's yeah. the most irrelevant sports franchise
right
in North America.
Now, dude. That team won five championships with Tim Duncan
no,
and
they
company.
Did. No, that's San Antonio, dude. That's how irrelevant they are. Sacramento, I'm talking about. That's how irrelevant they
oh,
are.
Oh, Sacramento.
Sacramento. Not
yes,
San Antonio.
Yes,
the Sacramento
you're
Kings.
You're dead right. You're dead
are
right.
The most irrelevant sports franchise in North yeah. American sports. And I don't think there's ever been one that's more irrelevant. They are such a nothing. You talk about nobody cares.
Oh.
The fact that they exist in the NBA is still a shock to people. Like, there are NBA super fans are like, oh, that's right. Sacramento's got a team. They, ever since Weber and
that Williams kid.
Yeah, Mike Bibby. And like, they have not yeah. been relevant in no. 15 years. It's just been 15 years of cycling and coaches and players and. Anyone that gets there, it's just a black hole. You go there and
yeah,
you disappear. You're not a part of the NBA.
I was trying to remember the name, but I knew it.
Sacramento.
It's a weird – I have a weird connection, too. Apparently, like, I have a friend of a friend that, like, who was, like, the GM of that team for a while.
Oh,
like,
no
I,
way. Shout
yeah,
out.
So, anyways.
Mr. Irrelevant.
Yeah.
But you can fight me on a lot of the other stuff and people in Jersey. I'll bet you – if anyone listens to this show online in Sacramento, they'd be the first ones to write it and say, you're 100% correct. 100%. Like,
I think
Sacramento
they pushed
Kings.
The Lakers to the limit a couple, like 20 years ago. And then after that, it's like all those guys left and they've just been garbage.
That's right. They had a great rivalry with Shaq and Kobe and They're like, remember that famous Game 7 where the Lakers were down like 15 or something in the fourth quarter and Shaq had that big dunk where I think it was Kobe threw the oop up and he had that reaction down the court, and that was Weber, and I think Vlade was on that team, and they were legit. Like they were a really good team. That's the last time they were relevant, 20 years ago.
Wow.
So there
that's
it is.
That's tough.
Yeah,
that
I can put some more tough. Thought into shuffling the other teams, and I'm willing to accept arguments on whether or not you think the Sabres should be in there, the Lions should be in there, the Diamondbacks should be in there, but Sacramento is indisputable. It's unanimous.
I got a treat for you guys coming up after the break, I got to tell you.
Okay.
I love it.
I got a
pick of the Harley.
Wow.
You're kidding me.
I love it.
Oh, yes.
I'm going to show you guys the best machine ever. I'm
okay,
putting
we
it
got
to the grappler right now.
It's going to be over on TSN 2. So if you're watching on TSN 4, head to TSN 2. We're going up. We're going to post the Harley. We're breaking it down. Continues on TSN Radio and on the TSN app. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050, soon to be on TSN 2.